The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
There's a tremendous interest in ESP and UFOs, spiritism, spiritualism, exorcism, demonism, occultism, witchcraft, the black arts, voodoo, you name it, it's probably for sale or on display. We got a booklet out that I think you ought to write for called The Occult Explosion, What Does It Mean? There seems to be an unhealthy interest these days in the spirit world, and I say unhealthy because when you understand, when you prove incontrovertibly that there is a spirit world, and you prove a little bit of the personality, the kind of a spirit world it is, its origin, where it came from, what are its aims, goals, and objectives, then I say an unhealthy interest. Some of the comments of people who were interviewed before they went into the movie Exorcism are very interesting, to say the least. You can see every conceivable range of understanding from people who firmly believe in the existence of the devil, spiritually or physically, depending upon their point of view, to those who couldn't care less and don't know any better, have never taken the time to read a little bit of the Bible even about it, and know nothing about it historically, and perhaps weren't taught anything about it in their educational experience. But the truth is that some people have come out of that motion picture very greatly disturbed. I have known personally of people, you know, second, third hand information in one sense, but personal friends of mine whose children or something of this nature have been very deeply disturbed as a result of going to that motion picture.
We're here today in Beverly Hills at the Fine Arts Theater where The Exorcist is playing. The movie is adapted from the book by the same name, The Exorcist, and it's about the diabolical possession of a 12-year-old girl by none other than Satan the devil himself. The girl's body becomes an actual battlefield for the rival forces of good and evil, the forces of good being personified by priests of the Catholic Church. Not only is this a much debated, much discussed movie, but a controversial movie, but also a very frightening movie. It's been termed not only a religious movie, but a horror movie as well. In fact, Warner Brothers' budget started out at $4.5 million and escalated to over $10 million because of the special effects that are used in this movie, which causes a great deal of excitement and much spine-tingling suspense. Why the fascination with the movie? Why in a day and age of science and the 360 computer are people flocking by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands to see the movie The Exorcist? Can you tell me why you're here to see The Exorcist?
Well, I just couldn't believe some of the things people were saying about the movie itself. And I'd like to find out a little bit more about the devil.
Well, curiosity, I suppose. As you say, curiosity killed the cat, so...
Were you warned not to come?
Oh, yeah, I said to read the book first and watch out. But didn't have time to read the book, so I had to come first.
Do you expect to be frightened and scared by it?
Some of my friends that are pretty big people have gotten scared over the movie, so it's going to be a little shaky.
Do you expect to be frightened by what you see?
Yeah.
Why are you here, then?
Well, I heard so much about it, I just wanted to see what it was like.
Well, I'd seen the interview on TV of the characters in the play, or in the movie, and a friend of mine has read the book and said that it was really frightening if you had a child, a girl, especially at the 12 age limit. But from the cast, it sounded like it could be a religious experience. And I was interested to find out, you know, what someone else had on, you know, thoughts along that line.
What do you think about this thing they call exorcism? Do you know much about it?
Very little, to tell you the truth. But it sounds interesting.
You believe in a literal Satan the devil?
Not in the physical sense, no. In a spiritual sense, I do.
I think a person could be possessed, but I don't know about something the devil. I don't know about that.
You think the devil is real?
I might after I get out of the movie, but right now, no.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid of him. I'm not. I don't think this movie will really... I don't know, I'm just interested in it, but I don't think it'll do anything to him. I really don't.
Dave, you're the head doorman here at the Fine Arts Theater. The movie The Exorcist has caused a mild sensation, and that's an understatement. How have the crowds been reacting to this movie, from your viewpoint?
Well, quite differently than crowds have reacted to other movies. We've had people fainting and which is quite unusual for a movie. And although they come in and say, it's only a movie, it's not going to scare me, they come out sometimes not consciously. And we've had people that have gotten rather sick. And it's strange because it's mostly the bold, intrepid people that will come to the movie. And if they get affected, I'm wondering when we start getting the more common crowds, what's going to be happening.
Have you seen the movie a number of times?
Yes.
What's your impression of it?
Well, personally, I didn't find it that scary. And now, of course, that I've seen it many times, I've gotten very used to most of the things. But I can see how people would get affected by it, especially if you do believe in the devil and power of possession. You can get very taken by it. I don't know what the devil has gotten into the people.
The movie The Exorcist seems to raise the question, is the devil real? Is there such a thing as demonic possession by a spirit being? Seemingly Madison Avenue in recent years has done all its part to raise the image of Satan the devil. He's no longer the vaudeville caricature with the red flannel uniform and the pitchfork that he once was, or the fellow on the orange Julius cup. But he's become a person to reckon with. And if there is a message in The Exorcist, it's probably that the devil is real and don't mess around with him. This is Tom Hall reporting from the Fine Arts Theater on Wilshire Boulevard.
I do not believe that it is a healthy interest that people are displaying these days in demonism and Satanism and exorcism. Did you know that Jesus was, if they want to use that term, an exorcist? That means that Jesus did encounter in his ministry many, many different kinds of demonic personalities, which the Bible says were able to possess, to influence, to even use the vocal mechanism of a human being, and in that day it was commonly known. Now, I know it's a vast subject, and I know that many psychologists, psychiatrists, and others today may utterly reject the idea of there even being a spirit world, and they may say that this is merely dementia praecox, or it's schizophrenia, paranoia, split personality. People talk about the Gene Dixon's and Bridie Murphy story and things of this nature about clairvoyance of people who have had visions, who have understood when a loved one was suddenly killed, maybe on another continent, a wife who knew the instant a bullet struck her husband in war, things that are absolutely impossible to explain or to understand in a purely physical plane, a purely physical context. And so you have to seek, as some people say, a metaphysical explanation. Well, as I said I was going to do last time, I was going to wade through some of the Bible on the subject of demons and whether or not they do exist. Now, I've shown in past programs, if you've missed those, I don't want to go through all of them to catch you up at this point, but the fact is that the Bible reveals there is a great personage that formerly was an archangel called Lucifer. The word Lucifer does not mean Satan. It means Lightbringer, Shining Star of the Dawn. There are three archangels mentioned in the Bible: Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. It is said in the Bible that Lucifer rebelled against God, that he tried to overthrow God with one-third of the angelic host. I've explained in past programs that angels come in different shapes and sizes. They really do. There are cherubim, seraphim, archangels, and there are billions, perhaps, of angels according to the Bible. Now, for those that don't believe the Bible, I won't even apologize for the time being. I'm talking about what the Bible says about it. And I'm approaching it from the point of view that the Bible is 100% true, that the Bible says what it means and means what it says. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The 14th chapter of Isaiah and the 28th chapter of Ezekiel talk about a would-be rebellion against God, how Lucifer was cast out of heaven to the earth. I even went through a great deal of discussion about ancient destruction. And as a matter of fact, even since I began this series, some new pictures came back to Earth from the bypass of Mercury, another probe, a space probe, where we now have seen pictures of Mercury that show a tortured surface of that planet, much like a lunar surface, with the impaction, no doubt, of thousands upon thousands of meteors of different sizes that have made huge craters, just like on the surface of our moon. And I've shown how the universe, the solar system, and even the earlier surface of the Earth at the time that you were ushered upon the scene in the first chapter of the book of Genesis showed a great destruction. I showed how that destruction came about and who was basically responsible for it. Then I showed how Jesus, when he came to this earth and began his ministry, ran into the personage of Satan the devil, and that this was one of the greatest battles that was ever fought, and it should be billed as such. In a moment I'll come back and show you what happened, and the account of that is found in the fourth chapter of the beginning chapters of the book of Matthew, and we're going to wade through it verse by verse and see exactly what happened when it says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan the devil.
John Riley watched the sandcastle the little girl had built melt away as the relentless tide once again claimed its territory. Too bad they don't last, he mused. It reminded him of a sad song he knew about dreams people have which never come true. He wondered about the plans he and his wife Sandy had made as a young bride and groom. Their life had been good. Their children were grown now and gone. What lay ahead? Just dandling the grandchildren and waiting for the end? Is that all there is? Does life have a point? John knew the uneasy questions. He could know the positive answers. Sooner or later, we all wonder what life's all about. Is all we do in this life a mere sandcastle? Or is there more? One of the keys to fulfillment in life is a sense of purpose, to build something that will last. The Ambassador College free booklet, Why Were You Born?, gives the true answer to this age-old question and reason for human existence. Is life only a sandcastle? Read this vital booklet, Why Were You Born? It will be sent free upon your request. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
It's amazing how many people have heard a great deal about Jesus Christ, about the little Lord in the manger, about the ministry of Christ, a little bit about it, that he said, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, and so on, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, or the alleged resurrection, as some people might say, but very few people have really bothered to read through the gospel accounts at the amazing number of encounters that Jesus had with demonic spirits that were actually possessing the mind of human beings. Now, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after the baptism of John the Baptist, it says in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward, as the old King James English says, and hungered, or extremely hungry. And this has got to be, along with a couple of other cases in the Bible, such as Elijah and so on, Moses at the foot of Mount Sinai, the longest fast in any recorded history. Now, maybe there have been some like this in India or even this country, but the average of a human being simply deprived of food, such as in an emergency or in the wilderness or at a life raft or something, is 3, 4, 5 days, 11 days or so, and even a very strong man is simply dead. That's usually brought about by exposure and, of course, fear and a very startling or dramatic increase in metabolic consumption of human energy and dehydration of the life as a result of fear, where I think a tranquil mind might see a person through a fast for a longer period of time. But anyhow, here's an example of an incredible length of time for a fast for a human being. 40 days and 40 nights. And it said, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He began tempting him with food. It shows how, in each case, Jesus quoted Scripture in order to rebuke Satan the devil. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then came the account of the devil taking him up to a pinnacle to one of the buildings of the temple. And he said, you can cast yourself down because there's a psalm that says the Son of Man, or you can cast yourself down because it is written, he'll give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And again, Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Eternal, your God. And again it said the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain. And most people think that was Mount Hermon. They're not sure, but somewhere up near Lebanon, where several different borders would be visible. And he said, he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and all the glory of them. And he said, I will give all of this to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus then said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Eternal, your God, and him only shall you serve. And then it said, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus did not contradict Satan the devil when he said, I will give to you all of these kingdoms of the earth, therefore showing, as it does in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he is the God of this present world. It says over in Revelation the 12th chapter in verse 9, that he is that great dragon, Satan the devil, who deceives all nations. He is called in Ephesians 2:2 the prince of the power of the air. But here, then, is a chapter replete with encounters, first of Satan the devil, and then statements about angels, righteous angels, coming and ministering to Jesus Christ that very few people ever hear about. Then follows the Sermon on the Mount, and immediately after that Sermon on the Mount, in the book of Matthew, as this particular chronicle is put together, you see encounters with those who were possessed of demons. That's in the 8th chapter, and right after several other healings are mentioned, beginning at about verse 14, it says, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with, now the King James language says, devil. But you know, the Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament, basically, Greek and Aramaic, and in the Old Testament, Hebrew. When you get another translation, other English translations of the Bible, or you get into a Bible reference book such as an exhaustive concordance, you find that it was a Greek word that does not mean devils. The Bible talks about one devil as a personality who is like the leader of all demons, and there are many, many demons. And so it should be rightly translated, those that were possessed with demons, plural, not the devil as an individual. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. It said he cast out the spirits with his word. These were human beings, who a lot of people, if they talk to, might say, well, they're a little odd, they're a little buggy, they stutter, or they got some weird ideas. And they might say, well, did you notice the look in his eyes? And they might say, well, I don't know, I was very uncomfortable as I talked to this person. Many people might not recognize demon possession or influence, even when they saw it. I personally am of the opinion, this is my opinion for the moment, that there may be many people in mental hospitals who needed, or if Jesus were on the earth today, or his true ministers, who could really have the discernment and could recognize what the problem is, believe it or not, by the simple command, a simple word, a statement that God's word honors and is revealed in the Bible, could completely cause what would appear to people to be a healing of a mental illness just by a command. I'm not talking about sensational faith healing, or that I advocate that, or that I believe in it in its context, as it's quite sensationalized by the media sometimes. But I know the Bible does say that Jesus did meet people, and other people were brought to him who were possessed of demons, and that with a word, a command, he cast the demon out. The person then appeared to be completely normal. It went on to say that this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Then goes on the account of the storm, and they were out there in the middle of the lake. And finally, in verse 28 of the same chapter, it said, when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, or the Gerasenes, as one version has it, there met him two possessed with demons coming out of the tombs, or an area of a graveyard there, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And they cried out, and they said, now this is an interesting commentary. It's put in the Bible for a reason. It reveals a little bit about the nature of these spirit beings. In other words, rebellious angels who are on this earth, who can and sometimes do affect the minds of human beings. They were using the very vocal mechanism of human beings, and they said, what have we to do with you, Jesus? Now, that's an expression when you translate it into the English language. You might as well say, get out of here, Jesus, or what's going on, or some saucy, rather flippant statement that was made. Jesus, thou Son of God. Now, that's an interesting thing, too, because in every single case, demons recognize an emissary of the true God and name him as such. They might say that they recognize that a person is a true minister of Jesus Christ, and they recognize Christ himself. They called him Jesus, the Son of God. And they said, are you come hither to torment us before the time? Illustrating the fact that they know there is coming a time of eternal torment for evil spirits, which the Bible elsewhere reveals in the book of Jude, 2 Peter, the book of Revelation, and other scriptures. And to finish this account before I take a quick break, And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine or pigs feeding. And so the devils or the demons besought him, saying, well, now, if you cast us out, allow us to enter in to this herd of swine. I don't ask me to profess to understand the attitudes or the minds or the nature of demons. All I know is what I read in the Bible and a few encounters that I've experienced over the past 20 or so years where I've seen people who have been very obviously not themselves, a completely different personality, and where there was either demon influence or demon possession. But for some reason, disembodied spirits, as they are called, desperately desire to inhabit, as it is, a body. And in this case, apparently even pigs would do. Kind of shows you the taste some of them got. But at any rate, they besought him, saying, if you cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine. And he said, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and the whole herd of swine ran violently like a stampede down a steep place and drowned, perished in the water. Well, the keepers fled into the city, and they told what had happened to those who were possessed of the demons. And the point is, even the townsfolk around there knew that those two fellows were demon-possessed. It was like a well-known thing. A lot of stories get around about the old guy in the haunted house, or the old farmer that shakes his rake at the poor kids that go by on the way to school. And this township was no different. They had the story of these two fellows that lived out there in the graveyard that were out of their heads or out of their tree, except they said that they were demon-possessed. And when Jesus cast them out, suddenly those two men were normal. But the pigs perished. Pig keepers then went into town to say what was happening about it. So here are two different accounts immediately of multiple examples. In the first place, it doesn't say how many. It just said they brought many possessed with demons. And he, with a word, cast them out. The other account, there were two men, but there must have been many, many demons. In another account of the Gospels written by another of the Gospel writers, it said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And apparently, that reveals something else, that more than one spirit at one time can literally possess the mind of a human being. And therefore, it helps explain, in perhaps psychological or psychiatric terminology, not just split personality, but multiple personality, where there have been accounts of people seemingly changing their tone of voice, like one person interrupting another person to talk about different times in life way back in ancient history. And what you're dealing with is not necessarily a human thing, but perhaps spirit beings who literally were there at the flood, or the American Revolution, or the Civil War, or knew Abraham Lincoln, or something else. I got a letter the other day from a guy that said he was talking to somebody who knew Abraham Lincoln, and of course it kind of drives you out of your mind when you listen a little bit. But believe it or not, cases of so-called multiple personality can be explained by these Bible scriptures that show there can be occasions where more than one spirit can literally possess or influence the mind of a human being. For me, I'd like to stay as far away from that kind of thing as I possibly can. But you ought to become at least educated about it sufficiently that you have understanding so you know how to guard and to protect the door of your mind.
For centuries, the occult arts have been kept hidden behind closed doors. But now, in today's society, many have turned to the methods and secrets of the ancients. Decisions are made according to the chance fall of a card, the pungent odor of incense, or the shifting position of the planets. Probably people you know dabble in the occult. Maybe you wonder whether there truly is help and guidance in a crystal ball, that the future can actually be known from tea leaves or from the lines in the palms of your hands. The booklet, The Occult Explosion, What Does It Mean?, explains what's really behind these auguries and divinations and examines why so many in these enlightened times have turned to mysticism for answers. Write today for your free copy of the booklet, The Occult Explosion, What Does It Mean? Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales.
On many occasions when Jesus did cast out a demon, there is illustrated in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that there are different kinds of personalities. Some caused the person to be tongue-tied and totally dumb. Others might have caused mental aberrations of some type, difficulties of speech. Others caused simply, as in the case of the ones we read of at the tombs, very fierce demeanor, who would literally attack someone physically.
frankly, just to talk to you personally about it for a minute, I cannot understand a person's mind like Adolf Hitler and some of those who were over the torture camps in Nazi Germany, nor can I understand mass murder, horrible knife attacks, and things of this nature, except in the context, and oftentimes there is enough in the evidence you read about later to illustrate this may have been true, except in the context then of some type of either temporary demon possession or else long-lasting demon possession. In Hitler's case, maybe it was the devil personified. You may not realize that the Bible says that Satan the devil personally entered into Judas at the time of the betrayal of Christ. Well, an example of different personalities is given in the 9th chapter of Matthew in about verse 31, where it says, his name was spread throughout that country, and as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a demon. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never seen in Israel. In this case, the person appeared to be completely dumb and could not speak. And the demon was cast out, and suddenly the person could speak. When Jesus called his 12 disciples, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, you see that, he gave them power, it says, against unclean spirits. He cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. A little later on, when he had personally told them what they were to do, he said in verse 8 of that chapter, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you've received, freely give. And so casting out of evil spirits was a part of the commission that Jesus gave to his church and his disciples. There are a great number of accounts in the Bible I don't even have time for here. For example, when Jesus a little later on was talking about John the Baptist and what they thought of him, he said he came neither eating nor drinking, and people claimed he was demon-possessed. On the 12th chapter, the book of Matthew was an account of how they claimed he was casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub, and Jesus answered and said, and I quote verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how then shall his kingdom stand? There's a case over in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, about it says, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by that Jesus whom Paul preaches, and tried to cast out an evil spirit, these seven sons of a man named Siva, and they did, and the spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Leapt on them, a physical human being, beat the daylight out of all seven of them, ripped the clothes off of them, and they fled out naked. You want to read an account of seven streaking Jews? That's in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, because what happened? They tried to tamper with something and knew nothing of, and they came out rather the worse for the experience. Well, write for these booklets if you want some really biblical education about the subject of demonism and whether or not there is a spirit world, on occultism and this explosion in that kind of knowledge at this time. You need to be protected. This booklet is something you desperately need to at least be informed about this new attempt to capture people's minds by the use of the occult. So write for the booklet called The Occult Explosion, or just mention a booklet about the occult. Even if you say the word cult, we'll know what you mean if you want to drop off the first O-C. O-C-C-U-L-T, The Occult Booklet. And all you need to do is to request it by sending your letter to Post Office Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station. We need that. That's all. There is no cost, but tell us the name of the radio station to which you've been listening, the call letters, and then send your letter to Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales.